Good Tuesday. Today is February the 4th, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, E85, otherwise known as unleaded 88, is something we've been trying to get year-round approval for. Well, there's been some changes, and some of them coming out of Columbus. We're going to visit with Tad Nicholson, Executive Director of the Ohio Corn and Wheat Growers Association, to get the full story. We'll be back with that after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
I'm visiting today with Tad Nicholson, Executive Director of the Ohio Corn and Wheat Growers Association. Tad, some interesting, maybe a little bit confusing news coming out of Columbus as Governor Mike DeWine sent a letter to the EPA basically delaying E15 expansion, even though it's something that we've been able to have some waivers for in the state in the past from his office. Can you tell us a little bit more?
It's a long story, Dusty. We've been working on this for about a decade now, and that is to legalize the sale of E15 during the summer driving season, June 1 to September 15. It's a very simple thing that we want to do, but it would need to change the law of the Clean Air Act. We need to change that to add in the same waiver that E10 gets. We need that same waiver to be for E15 federally. And so federally, we've been trying this for 10 years. And of course, things have moved very slow and hitting roadblock after roadblock. And so finally, in 2022, there were 8 governors across the state that said, enough's enough. If you're not going to get it done federally, we want to get it done in our own states. And they have that ability. It would be basically asking for the petroleum industry to give us a better fuel during those summer months and not needing any kind of waivers. We just keep on permanently selling E15 here. The governor did that in 2022. And since then, though, he has elected to delay the implementation of that. And he did it again this year. And so it was kind of expected, disappointing for sure, but it was expected because he has done that before. He is hopeful that we will get a federal fix and he won't have to take a state-by-state action. And so really that's our strategy going forward. All steam ahead, full steam ahead on a federal fix for E15.
Now, in one of the releases that I was reading, it seemed like there was a push by the petroleum industry to walk this back a little bit, or at least to buy more time because they didn't feel they had the infrastructure in place. I guess I was confused by that a little bit. Since we have been doing it in the summer months, what infrastructure would be different outside of those months?
Well, that's something for the petroleum industry is indicating that they need to make some investments in tank storage and those type of things. But the studies we have would say it's going to be very minimal impact. We can do it with relatively ease in the state of Ohio. And so it's just sort of a disagreement we have. But really, I think the petroleum industry doesn't want us to produce a different fuel for the state of Ohio than they have to for surrounding states. And so that's their reasoning for pushing back on this. I will say the petroleum industry is with us on the federal fix, and that's the one good thing, that we are in lockstep. The API, Marathon, Ohio Corn and Wheat, Ohio Ethanol Producers, Farm Bureau, we've all signed on to joint letters asking for this federal fix. And I think if the governor wants to delay our state-by-state fix, our ask now is the governor should be vocal about this federal fix. And that the next opportunity for him to be vocal is right now, leading up to the March 14th continuing resolution. That'll be the next time when we have a piece of legislation that we believe will move through Congress that we can add in E15 year-round and finally get this decade-old problem, which is a very simple one, finally get it done.
Well, Tad, obviously having this go forward would have multiple benefits, both for the consumers purchasing a lower-cost fuel, but also for corn growers and farmers as we look at anything that we can get to increase corn demand would help that price that we're trying to increase.
We're not talking about just a little bit of corn demand. We're talking about a really large amount. So here's the stats. Today, 10% ethanol is in our nationwide fuel blend. If we, by adding in E15, having more consumers get access to a higher blend of ethanol in unleaded 88 or E15, if that percentage moves just 1%, nationwide we go from 10% to 11%, it's going to take 470 million bushels of corn to produce that. That's like 80% of Ohio's crop. So when we say we're after corn demand, and this is a very simple and quick way that we can get it, this is a large corn demand that will really matter to the market. And that's why it's so important that we work with the governor and the petroleum industry to get this nationwide fix done once and for all.
My guest again today is Tad Nicholson. Tad is Executive Director of the Ohio Corn and Wheat Growers Association, talking about the upcoming delay in the E15 fix. Tad, thanks so much for your time today and all your work.
Thank you, Dusty.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. We're going to change directions now. Talk livestock news, as USDA's first cattle on feed report for the new year shows the trends in cattle inventory continuing from 2024.
A continued tightening of the U.S. cattle inventory to start the year. USDA livestock analyst Mike McConnell says for the January cattle on feed report.
I think the major story that continues when it comes to cattle on feed is that placements still remain strong, relatively speaking, even though they're down slightly from a year ago. This is coming on the tails of a pretty strong run of placements in the third and fourth quarters.
So when all told,
USDA estimated that as of January 1st, 11.823 million head of cattle were on feedlots larger than 1,000 head, which is 1% below the levels last year. During the month of December, 1.64 million head of cattle were placed into feedlots, which is 3% lower than a year ago, and 1.74 million head were marketed, which is 1% more than a year ago.
However,
there's still robust demand for cattle and for beef, as exhibited by the 1% increase in marketings during the month of September. That's been reflective as well in the price of fed cattle, which has remained strong and, in fact, has crossed over the $200 per hundredweight mark in the month of January, looking at the five area fed steer price.
Another continuing trend? Lower year-over-year heifer placements for the second consecutive quarter.
This report showed that as of January 1st, heifers and heifer calves accounted for about 39% of feedlot inventories. This is down slightly from where it was last year, although it's still, relatively speaking, on the higher end of historical norms, but it has been continuing a trend that at least we've seen in the two quarterly reports, where the percentage of heifers in feedlots is a little bit lower than what it was the year before.
So Mike McConnell, what might this indicate?
That might be signaling to some degree the fact that perhaps cow-calf producers are retaining their female animals for breeding rather than marketing their heifers for feedlots. With the strong feeder cattle prices that we've seen recently, there's still a pretty strong incentive for producers to market their heifers in the feeder market.
In summary,
the main takeaways from this report are kind of a continuation of fairly steady inventories of cattle on feed due to generally large placements that we've seen throughout much of 2024. With that being said, marketings continue to also continue at a pretty robust pace. And really what we're looking at is not only a high inventory level, but also a high share of those inventories that have been on feed now for over 150 days, which means that they should be market ready in the coming weeks, essentially. So there should be a large supply of fed cattle and feedlots ready for marketing as we hit the first quarter of 2025.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.